Praise the Lord.
Anybody in here saved? Well, took a while for you to decide. It's kind of tough there, folks. Come on. Anybody in here saved?
Amen.
Glory to God. Attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
I think we better do that again. Attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Glory to God. Man, we don't have special music, so we'll just have to have a special sermon. You want to do the reading this morning, too? Or okay. Well, go right ahead, brother. Do the scripture reading for us. Thank you.
Our scripture this morning is from Matthew 19, verses 14 through 17. Then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, ain't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Oh, I forgot. Brother Mitch, come on up. All right, yeah. For those of you who don't know, Brother Bob was in the hospital 3 days this week. He has pneumonia, had a UTI, and it's a possibility that he'd had a heart attack. Well, they'll get more detail on that, whether he actually did or not later on. But for now, he's resting. You all know, most of you at least know that Renee was in and out of the hospital, had a mini stroke, and she's with us today, so we praise the Lord for that. The devil is trying to shut us down, folks. Mike Higgins is home with the flu. So, you know, the more things progress towards doing the things that God wants, the more the devil fights to try to stop it. And so when we see all these things happening, as our memory verse said, consider it pure joy. Because the devil doesn't like the fact that we are doing something godly instead of worldly. And he wants to prevent that from happening. Our text this morning is dealing with fasting. And that doesn't mean that you eat real fast. That's what I do all the time. But, you know, the question came from John's disciples. Well, John had been taken away, and he had been decapitated. I'm not sure that that had actually happened at this point, but he had been arrested anyway, and was being held in the palace prison. And so they were fasting. Now, I did some research and found just how interesting this topic is. You know, we talk about fasting and prayer. The Bible talks about fasting and prayer. It's something that I don't think that the church as a whole practices real often anymore. In fact, prayer doesn't even get practiced a whole lot by the church anymore. Unless there's a dire need, then everybody wants to go to prayer. But the thing is, in the biblical sense, fasting is a total absence of food for a set, designated period of time. And sometimes you don't even know how long that's going to be. You just let the Spirit lead you. But here's the thing. Mark, go ahead and bring this scripture up. Ezra 8:21. This tells us a little bit about what fast really is. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him a safe journey for us, our little ones, and all our possessions. Here, they're getting ready to travel back to Jerusalem. And so, in order to ensure that the devil doesn't stomp that idea out, they call a fast. They're fasting and praying that God will hear them, and they humbled themselves before God. To humble the flesh is part of what fasting is. Our flesh desires many things that are ungodly, but our flesh desires for us to feed it. Part of that is just physical food, eating. And in order for us to say no to the flesh, stopping to eat and letting God know, I'm willing to humble my flesh, my body, my soul before you by not feeding this flesh. I'm willing to do whatever it takes, Lord, to hear from you. I'm willing to honor you with everything. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. Humbling ourselves before God and keeping the flesh under control, saying no to the fleshly things. Now, in today's world, there are many people who talk about fasting. Okay, I'm going to fast from chocolate for a month. And that's okay in a way. God, I'm sure, honors that. And if you're a chocoholic like me, that's a big deal to take a break from chocolate. But that's not the true biblical sense of a fast. But here's the difference, okay? If I determine on my own that I'm going to fast from something that may or may not be ungodly, but it's just something to show God that I'm serious about serving him, that I'm humbling myself before him, he will honor that. He will hear that. But in most cases in the Bible, when they had a major fast, people's hearts were broken about something. Have you ever been so upset about something that you didn't feel like eating? That's the kind of fast that these people were doing. Their heart was broken. But we often do this when, like, somebody dies that we love, somebody close. We just so tore up that we can't eat. And that's a form of fasting. But when's the last time that our hearts were so broken for the lost people around us that we felt so bad that we couldn't eat? That's the kind of fast that God wants from us. That's what he's looking for, is for us to love like he loves, to have a passion and compassion for our fellow man around us. I mean, we have gotten so used to people being lost, even our own family members, it doesn't break our heart anymore, to the point to where we fast and pray until we get an answer from God. You want to know why the church is not having revival? You want to know why there's no young people around? You want to know why the church is not growing any more than it is? This is why, folks, because we don't have the kind of love for our fellow man that we should have. People come in here, and yes, we love them. Yes, they feel welcome. But we shouldn't wait till they come to us. We should be reaching out to them. There are many that will never come in here unless they're invited. There are many that won't come even if you do invite them. But that's okay. God says, pray for them, move on. Pray for them, move on. Go to someone else who will respond that way. Someone who will come. But here's the thing. We should always prepare our invitation with prayer and, if necessary, fasting. There was one time when Jesus was healing a child. And the disciples had tried and couldn't do it. And Jesus told them the reason why is because of your lack of faith. This kind only comes by prayer and fasting. Folks, there are things that are required of us as Christians. Loving the Lord thy God with all the heart, mind, strength, and soul is one, but loving your neighbor as yourself is the other. Now, let me ask you this. If you really care about your own soul and not going to hell, and we love our neighbor as ourself, shouldn't we care as much about their soul as we do our own, according to that teaching, according to what Christ commanded? How can the guest of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? Here's that heartbreak. He's taking away, when he's taken away, the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. Why? Because they lost that joy. They lost that connection with him. And now it's time for them to mourn and to fast and to pray, to humble themselves and to find out, well, now what, God? Now what? Now what are we supposed to do? Have you ever been to a place in your life where you were asking, now what? I mean, come on, there's more month than money, right? Now what? Now what? Turn to God. That's what. Fast. Pray. Ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what am I supposed to be doing different? Lord, how can I meet these needs? I depend upon you. Show me. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. And he will, folks. He will. And then there's this other thing that comes into play here. It starts in verse 16. No one sews a patch on unshrunken cloth of an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. What's that got to do with fasting? Neither do people pour new wine in old wineskins. If they do, the wineskins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. What's that got to do with anything? God uses allegories. He uses symbolism to show us things so that we can grasp what he's saying and then apply the spiritual principles to it. We know this is connected to fasting somehow because it's attached to the segment, the pericope that is teaching us about fasting. This was part of Jesus' answer when they asked him about fasting. So what does it have to do with fasting? Can somebody tell me? Oh, you're waiting for me to tell you, aren't you? If you put, let's say, a piece of blue jean material that's not been washed and patch a hole, that are on old pants, and then when you wash it, it shrinks and it will tear. Here's the thing, folks, is fasting is a way of preparing ourself to receive something new from God. Fasting is a way for us so that we can be prepared when God gives us what he wants us to have. Before we fasted, before we prayed, before we humbled ourselves before him, before we sought for it, we could not see it when he gave it to us. If you give us something, just go right over your head. You'd miss it altogether. You're not ready to be stretched until you've humbled yourself before God and sought him to stretch you, then you're ready to be added to something new. And as far as the wineskin goes, again, it's the principle of you put new wine in an old bladder, a wineskin bladder, and it's all stretched and thin and worn. You put new wine in there, and as it ferments, the gases build up and it will explode. But if you take a brand new bladder, it will expand, but it will hold it. So as we ask for preparedness, as we show that we're willing to humble ourselves, to humble our flesh, then he can put new things in us, more anointing, more strength, more understanding, a closer walk with him, and we can withstand it. But if we're not preparing ourselves to receive it, we won't get it. And if we do, it will bust us. Have you ever seen somebody real excited for Jesus? One time you see him, and the next time you see him, they're just dead inside. Why? Because they weren't prepared to receive what they had been given. They allowed the devil and the flesh and the world to take it away from them. They allowed themselves to be robbed. And the way that we prevent that is through fasting and prayer. By fasting and prayer, we are able to be prepared at all times to receive what God has for us. And since we have humbled ourselves, what he tells us, we will put into action. We will do what he says. And as a result, others around us will be blessed too. And they can begin to grow. But it starts right here. In our hearts. You know, I've shared this before, but I'll share it again because I think it's appropriate right here. At the time that one morning when I was praying and asking God, I had been praying for probably 2 or 3 years. Lord, let me see through your eyes. Let me feel with your heart. Let me hear with your ears. Let me see what you see. And that one morning I came in here and he showed me that vision of darkness. The darkness that can be felt. I mean, I could feel it. It was horrible. It was a total absence of anything good. And I looked out and there were people sitting in the pews in the darkness and they were laughing and carrying on, thinking they were in the light. They had been deceived to believe that the darkness was the light. And you know that Satan can appear as an angel of light. They had been deceived. Who was it? I don't know. But seeing them in that position broke my heart. I cried for 3 weeks. I couldn't stop crying. It hurt to know that people who are so lost think they're okay with God. And during that time, part of that time, I fasted and prayed because it hurt so much. That's the kind of feeling that we should have for the lost. God allowed me to see that so that I would understand. That's how I should feel about the lost people around me. Instead of sitting at home watching the idiot box. And relaxing and saying, well, I'm saved. All's good in the world. I'm going to heaven when I die. And I'll share this with you. Last week, I was praying. At night, before I went to bed, Lord, I love you. He said, no, you don't. So what? Lord, I love you. No, you don't. So do you remember what I asked Peter? Yeah. Do you love me more than these? He said, you don't. If you did, you would do what I say instead of what you want. I was reminded of the scripture Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. Do you love me more than these? What he was referring to, I love him more than I love the comfort of sitting in my chair in front of my computer, watching movies and even reading and studying the Bible. Do I love him more than I love my time of joy of fleshly things? Do I love him more than taking it easy? Do I love him more than anything? And the Lord never lies. That's stung, folks. But I know it's true because it's God. He never lies. And he's trying to stretch me. He's trying to grow me. He's getting my attention and telling me, hey, you want your church to grow? You got to grow. But it's not just me, folks. Every single one here, God has called to go and make disciples. So I have to ask, how are we doing? As a church, as individuals, as families, how are we doing? If you have a need this morning, oh, and the song will be only in your hymnals because Brother